Hello, everybody. This is Robert Sigliano of the New Pilot Pod Blog, and welcome to episode 13, the world's greatest aviation adventure. Housekeeping first. This is the first recording with me using my new equipment. Thanks to Pilot Stu of the Pilot's Journey podcast for helping me pick out a new mixer, microphone, and assorted cables. Hopefully the audio quality will be better going forward than it has been in the past. I also have a new website address. You can now drop the blog spot from the website address. No longer a mouthful. It is now thenewpilotpodblog.com. So now on to the podcast. This podcast is really my recollection and audio blog of my experiences with my two sons, Joey and Robert, at EAA's AirVenture in Oshkosh 2010. It was a magnificent show. It was my first time there, as most of you know. And it was everything everybody said and more. EAA's AirVenture, better known as Oshkosh, was a blast. I had hoped to record some audio, but I was so busy seeing and doing things that I barely had time to breathe. So I'll try to relate to my first time experience after the fact on this episode. I'm sure I will forget some things and some people that I have met. The whole experience was overwhelming. I was in aviation overload. Jack, Jeb, and Dave from the Uncontrolled Airspace podcast are always saying that Oshkosh is about the people, seeing old friends, making new friends, and that is exactly what my Oshkosh experience is all about. I did not fly in to Oshkosh, being a fairly new pilot, and the fact that I went with my two sons, Robert and Joey, and the Piper Sport only holds two people, so I did not have that experience. Robert and Joey would like me to fly in one day because they thought it was really cool camping next to your own plane. I have to thank Idaho Mike Hart from the Pilot's Journey podcast to thank for that. More on that later. On Thursday morning, we flew out of LaGuardia in New York and arrived at General Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee sometime in the afternoon. There we rented a car and we drove the rest of the way to Oshkosh. It was actually a pretty nice drive. It took us about an hour and a half to get from Milwaukee to Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It is true that to really, really have the whole Oshkosh experience, you really need to camp at Camp Scholar. I cannot imagine doing it any other way, except maybe camping next to my plane. It was so convenient walking back to and from the tent. It really made us feel that we were always at the show. No breaks driving to the hotel, sitting in traffic, or just spending time away from Oshkosh. It was great sharing my first Oshkosh and my love of aviation with my sons. I was a little concerned that they would get bored, especially when I met up with friends. To be honest, by the end of the 3 days that we were there, they were getting tired, and by Sunday they were ready to go home. But they were pretty much hooked from the moment they got there. As soon as we arrived on the grounds of AirVenture, I sent out a tweet that I was at Oshkosh and asked what everyone was doing. I had hoped to get a response. I was really looking forward to meeting everyone. Now, since this being my first time at Oshkosh, I really didn't know anybody, and I was hoping to meet all my Twitter and social media friends, and I wasn't disappointed. So we walked through the main entrance and saw all the cool planes on display. Joey and Robert especially liked the Icon A5 and the Terra Fusia. Pretty much from day one, they were talking about coming back next year, and they still are. We spent a lot of time the first day, Thursday, in the Warbird section. Joey and Robert really liked the C-17 and the OV-1 Mohawk. I got a kick out of seeing so many DC-3s and C-47s, my absolutely favorite airplane. We even got the chance to go into a DC-3 and a C-47. Where else but at Oshkosh will someone call you over and invite you in to tour a beautiful vintage airplane? The view of the grounds of Oshkosh through the windscreen of a DC-3 is incredible. It was absolutely beautiful. The number of P-51 Mustangs just floored me, as well as the F-4U Corsairs and the Japanese Zeros and the TBM Avengers, the Sopwith Camel. You pretty much get the picture. It was mind-boggling. After the Warbirds, we went through the home-built area and then the LSA Mall. Joey and Robert thought all the different types of aircrafts were cool. Joey especially liked the Cozy, or maybe it was a Long Easy. I'm not really sure. As we were walking through the LSA Mall, I got a tweet from Monica Petrillo from Fly About the Movie. She said she was going to be at the My Transponder party that night and asked if I was planning to be there as well. I also received a tweet from CFI Stu Stoll from the Pilot's Journey podcast, that he was at Hangar C near the cell phone chargers. So we headed over there. The hangar is right outside the LSA Mall, so we decided to just go over and say hi. Bill Williams from the Pilot Cast also tweeted me, asking if I was going to be at the My Transponder party. So far, so good. My tweet was answered. I was going to meet my social network and friends. When I walked into the hangar, I recognized Stu because he was wearing a Pilot's Journey podcast baseball hat. I really need to get a logo for my podcast, so maybe I can also have hats and shirts like the Pilot Journey guys. While we were talking, a tall gentleman came over and said he recognized my voice. Wow, somebody actually listens to my podcast. It was Scoffrey Jet, Jeff Ward, who does the show notes for UCAP. He said they were planning a dinner get-together that night and asked if we wanted to go. Of course we said yes. So later that day, we all met at Friar Tuck's for dinner. It was myself, Joey, Robert, Jeff, Jack Hodson, Idaho Mike, who I met while we were waiting for the bus to take us to the restaurant, and Stu Stoll. Rick Felty and John Wellington also stopped by as well. There was another young couple there, and I'm sorry I don't remember their names, who are listeners of UCAP. If you happen to also be listeners of this podcast, send me your names and I will give you a shout-out during the next episode. It was a nice gathering. It was the first time meeting everyone but John Wellington. If you remember from a prior podcast, Joey and I were up in Hartford, and on the way out, we actually ran into John Wellington, who I recognized from Rick Felty's videos. After dinner, Jack invited us to a Lineys redistribution party to get rid of all the Lineys that UCAP received in honor of their 200th episode, which aired live on EAA Radio. At the Lineys redistribution party, Dave Hignan and Jeb Burnside, as well as James Winbrandt, showed up, along with a lot of others, mostly listeners and friends of Jack, Jeb, and Dave. I really enjoyed talking to Pilot Tony, who also recognized my voice, go figure, and his wife. This couldn't get any better. Drinking Lineys, hanging out with pilots and podcasters, and watching planes come and go over the North 40. The first day of AirVenture started off great, and it would get better. After the Lineys party, Robin and Joey went back to the tent. I guess they had enough of podcasters and pilots. So after the Lineys party, I headed over to the My Transponder party. I met Monica Petrillo, who was an incredible and really nice person. Everyone really should own a copy of Fly About. I also met the Mile High Flyers gang. Unfortunately, Ziola Mix was not there, and she was really missed, especially at Potapalooza. I also met all three from the Pilot's Journey podcast. The Pilot Cast crew of Bill Williams, Kent Shook, and Tiffany Wolf was also there. My Transponder was well attended by, of course, Rod Rakic and Mike Miley. I also met Julie, also known as Julie Will Fly, and Adam Fast, Adam Can Fly. And we all listened to the dynamic duo of Steve Tupper and Jason Miller serenade us at the end of the party. It was an incredible evening, an incredible party, and I know I am forgetting others that I have met. At the end of the party, as I was walking back to the campsite, I thought to myself that this was only the first day and it was already an incredible experience. One thing I learned that night and the other nights is that, and Jack Hodgson has mentioned this on UCAP, walking through the grounds of Oshkosh after hours is an incredible, wonderful experience. It was calm. It was quiet. It was so different from the daytime. And what was even more amazing was that you could still walk amongst the planes. You can still walk up to them. And I believe the one thing that I will always take away from Oshkosh, besides spending the time with my boys and meeting all my new friends, is that there are no fences. Everyone gets it. You can walk amongst the planes. You can talk to everybody. Everybody's your friend there. Everybody has the same interests as you, and everybody's so nice. But really, what got me is that you can walk up to the planes. There are no fences. And in this day and age, to me, that was incredible. I knew that there were no fences and that you can walk amongst the planes and you could check them out and you can talk to the pilots. But I guess I never really expected it to be so open and so friendly and so incredible. And that was just the first day.
Hi, I'm Stuart Stevenson, a.k.a. Pilot Stu, from the Pilot's Journey podcast.
And I'm Stuart Stoll, a.k.a. CFI Stu, inviting you to join us for the Pilot's Journey podcast, where we discuss aviation, proficiency, and most of all, enjoying the journey.
You can find us on iTunes or at pilotsjourneypodcast.com. And don't forget to enjoy the journey.
Sleeping in the tent Thursday night was pretty comfortable, so I thought. Joey decided to sleep in the car. It was a little chilly, but not bad. What Dave Higdon says is true. When you go to Oshkosh, pack for at least three seasons. So we woke up early on Friday, and Joey and I decided to find the showers. Robin wanted to sleep in a bit. This turned out to be our standard practice. Joey and I would go to the showers while Robin slept in. We would come back after showering and get Robin. He would shower while we would be charging his BlackBerry and getting coffee. After the shower, he would meet us for breakfast, and then we would start the day. Well, this morning was our first going to the showers, so we didn't really know where to go. Luckily, we found someone who knew. As we were walking through Camp Scholar, I noticed a sign hanging from the back of an SUV. The sign read, AcroCamp. I turned to Joey, and I said, I know the dude over there. It was none other than Steve Tupper. So I walked over, I introduced ourselves, and said that we were looking for the showers, and he said he was going there and would show us the way. How cool is that? This is what Oshkosh is all about. People helping people. We had a nice chat along the way. Steve is a really nice guy, and thanks to him, we found the showers. Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate it. So on Friday, Robert had his first small airplane ride, if you can call a 1929 Ford Trimotor a small plane. So we got to the place to buy the tickets for the Ford Trimotor early. We wanted to make sure they were not sold out. The day before, I asked the woman, and she said, come early, because by noon, all the rides are sold out. Well, we got there around 10-ish, and we waited on about, I'm guessing it was a 45-minute line to buy the tickets. Our ride wasn't scheduled until about 1:30 in the afternoon. Since we had the whole morning, we walked around a bit. Again, we spent most of the time in the Warbird area. We saw B-17s, the Sea Harrier jet, the only one owned by a private person, P-38s, TBM Avengers, P-51s. It was a gaggle of warplanes. We even got to see my favorite World War I airplane, a Sopwith Camel. As we were walking around Airshell Square, we stopped into the Ford building, and Robin and I each got our free complimentary Ford cowboy hat. And as we were leaving Aeroshell Square, we ran into the Pilot Journey podcast crew, Stu, and Mike. It was great to catch up with them. So now it was time to go on our Ford Trimotor ride. When we got there, we found out they were behind schedule. So we stuck around and waited. We had to wait for about an hour and a half. But I tell you, it was well worth it. Everyone should do this. The airplane is beautiful, the interior is gorgeous, and the view from above of Oshkosh is incredible. It was a great flight. Again, highly recommended to everybody. It's not that expensive and well worth the money. So now we had even more time to kill until Potapalooza at 7 o'clock. So again, we got some food and we walked around the grounds, mostly hanging around in the Warbird and LSA areas. A goal of mine was to meet Twilight Flyer, Gabrielle, who was working at the King's School's booth. After tweeting back and forth, I finally found her. It was great to finally meet her in person. Yet again, another social media friend that I finally met face to face. While talking to her, I met Pilot Rob 950, the friends that you meet at Oshkosh. After walking around all day, I was really looking forward to Friday night, which was Potapalooza. What a blast it was. It was everything I expected and more. It was great seeing all the podcasters, all the voices in my head live, and it was such an honor to sit amongst them and be part of the show. These are the people that I've been listening to over the last 3 or 4 years who I've come to respect and like, and now I was one of them. Besides meeting all the podcasters, it was great seeing some familiar faces in the audience. It was nice to see Monica Petrillo there, also Pilot Tony and Adam Fast in the audience. But it was especially nice that Robert and Joey stayed to listen to Potapalooza for a little bit. I couldn't really expect them to stick around all night listening to their father talking with his geeky friends. They thought it was cool that it was live on the radio. In fact, Joey texted my daughter Colleen to tell her that I was live on the radio and told her to turn it on. He didn't really know it was just local. Afterwards, they even said that they were pretty impressed by me. Either they were easily impressed or they just wanted me to feel good. As you already have most likely heard the Potapalooza recording, either from this podcast or from others, you know that the aviation podcast community was well represented. The old guard was there, such as the PilotCast and UCAP and Airspeed, as well as sort of the new kids on the block, the Mile High Flyers podcast, Pilot's Journey podcast, myself, Air Pigs, Airplane Geeks, and even Plane Crazy Down Under, even though it was by a pre-recorded audio clip. Hopefully they'll be there next year. It was a great discussion, and it was a great time. Kent Shook, Pilot Kent, Pilot Will, Bill Williams, and Pilot Tiffany, Tiffany Wolf, did a fantastic job as moderators. The audience was great as well, and we had great participation. As I said, it was a great honor to be invited and to participate in a roundtable discussion with these well-respected and knowledgeable aviation folks. While sitting up there, I could not believe that little old me was on stage with them. To be at my first Oshkosh and to be part of the show was mind-blowing. I was not just a spectator. I was part of AirVenture, live on EAA Radio. How cool is that? I've been listening to these guys on their podcast and as part of Potapalooza for years, and now I was with them on the other side of the mic. Wow! After Potapalooza, a bunch of us went out for some adult beverages and food. Myself, Jeff Ward, the Pilot's Journey podcast gang, Adam Fast, Mike Miley, Steve Tupper, and Cole Tupper. Steve even started a small food fight. The company was great. The food was good. The beer was cold. I had only wished that the band was better. So afterwards, we all said goodnight, and I strolled back to our tent, which was pretty much right across the street. Another benefit of camping at Camp Scholler.
All right, there's 230. There's 275. There's 300. There's 350. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Stephen Force from Airspeed, the Internet's best all-features aviation and aerospace podcast. Airspeed specializes in the in-depth story that puts you in my headset or helmet as I chase the coolest experiences to be had anywhere in the air. Airspeed is the only podcast to take you up in amazing aircraft like the T-6A Texan II with the U.S. Air Force's Air Education and Training Command, the mighty Douglas DC-3 to train for a type rating, and even a full-hour demo ride with the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds in the F-16 Fighting Falcon. And Airspeed talks to some of the most interesting people in aviation and aerospace, like airshow performers, NASA's premier expert on motion sickness, the guy who flies the modified Boeing 747s that transport the Space Shuttle Orbiter, and many others. Airspeed is also the place for no-holds-barred, gut-wrenching poetry and prose, From the epic poem Fingers in the Airport Fence Entwined, to the heartfelt first solo, to the raise your fist in the air comment on the DHS's wildly paranoid proposed LASP rules. The show is in its fifth year and has a back catalog of more than 160 episodes, so there's a lot of quality content there for you to discover. For all that, I'm a regular guy with a day job, a wife, two kids, and a grocery getter parked in my suburban driveway. No airline stuff here. It's all about things that you can do yourself, or if you can't, I cover them from the perspective of somebody just like you, only thrust into circumstances too cool to cover in any other way. I'd love to stuff you in my helmet and take you along on this continuing journey. Subscribe through iTunes or your favorite other podcatcher, and check out the website at www.airspeedonline.com.
Saturday morning, we all went to the seaplane base and met up with Pilot Stu, Stu Stevenson, and Jeff Ward, Scoffer Jet. We had planned to meet up with Mike and Elizabeth Daniels from the Mile High Flyers podcast, but the weather wasn't looking too good, and they had to drive all the way in from Green Bay to get to Oshkosh, so they had decided to skip out. Maybe next year we'll get together. The seaplane base is such a different world from AirVenture. It is so tranquil and beautiful, totally opposite from Oshkosh, where so much was going on with so many people. An interesting thing that we learned while there is that the seaplane base is only in existence the 1 week of Oshkosh. It is on private property and donated to EAA by the owners to use during AirVenture. It is not even on a chart. The FAA knows about it. The seaplane base is really just a lagoon that spills out between two peninsulas into a large lake. The planes will take off and land on the lake. Only during very windy days when the lake is rough will they use the lagoon for takeoff, and only the J-3 Cubs and Luscombs can take off in such a small place. Setting that day was so serene and beautiful. It was foggy, which added to the beauty. Because it was foggy, no planes were taken off or landing, which made it very quiet. It was absolutely perfect. The five of us, myself, Robert, Joey, Stu, and Jeff, took a pontoon boat ride around the lagoon, where our very knowledgeable guide told us all about the different airplanes anchored there. We saw J-3 Cubs, Champs, Cessnas 172s, de Havilland Beavers, 182s, even experimentals. This is a must-see. A $3 bus ride and a $3 boat ride is very little to pay for such an enjoyable time. Of all the planes that we saw at the seaplane base, my favorite by far was a Quest Kodiak 100 on floats. It was absolutely beautiful. Of course, there was the requisite yellow cubs on floats. There was even one yellow cub on aluminum floats. Very, very odd to see. But I was really amazed about all the different types of airplanes that people put on floats. Your typical Cessnas 172s, 182s, Cubs, Luscombs, a Cessna 180. It was just incredible how many different types of planes that we saw on floats. Of course, you had the one or two amphibs there as well, which was nice to see. But again, this is a must-see. Once back at AirVenture, we left Stu and Jeff and went on our own. The plan that day was to try and see all of the other things we had not seen so far. Good luck in that place. Since we spent a lot of time on the left side of the field, we wanted to go to the right. This included Aeroshell Square, the ultralight area, and the vintage plane area, where Mike Hart's plane was tied down and he was camping with Stu. CFI Stu, that is. We also wanted to see the day air show with the pyrotechnics, especially the wall of fire. Our first stop back at Oshkosh was to the ultralight area. There we saw a number of ultralight rotorcrafts taking off and flying the circuit and landing back onto the runway. There were quite a few vendors out there, and we stopped by a few displays and checked out the cool-looking ultralights, everything from power parachutes to the rotorcrafts. There were even a number of LSAs there as well. The next stop was Aeroshell Square, Well, we walked through the huge C-5 galaxy. This is one big airplane. Robin and Joey were floored. You cannot imagine how big it is until you walk through it. Everything is big. The engines are the size of cars. It was incredible. Also in Aeroshell Square was a beautiful Ford Trimotor. It had a list of all the famous pilots that flew it, names such as Lindbergh, Earhart, and Bennett. It was beautiful. There was also a UAV, which is bigger than a C-182. I had no idea that they made it that big. We stopped by the sky crane, and I talked to the pilots about the configuration. So after walking around a bit, stopping by Dougie, the smile in the sky, a beautiful yellow DC-3 that is flown around the country introducing aviation to children, we decided it was time to find a spot on the line for the day air show. So we found a spot on the grass in front of two DC-3s to watch the air show. Where else but at Oshkosh can you do this? It was a perfect setting, and the air show was incredible. It all started with a warbird demonstration where, with the use of pyrotechnics, simulated strafing runs and bombings. There was a Hawker Sea Fury from the United Kingdom, a P-51 Mustang from the United States. There was a Zero, also an F-4U-1 Corsair and an OB-1 Mohawk. It ended with a spectacular wall of fire. I swear it was 1,000 feet long and 100 feet high. We could feel the concussion from the explosion and the heat from the fire from where we were sitting. After that, Sean Tucker performed, and I've seen Sean many times at the Jones Beach Air Show on Memorial Day. Sean is, in my opinion, the best there is. Also, I really enjoyed the dual act of the Iron Eagle. They were never out of sync, and I really liked when they were flying with one right side up and the other upside down. It was like a mirror image. The Twin Beach 18 routine was the most graceful, beautiful act I have ever seen. It was really hot during the air show. Robert kept going under the wing of a DC-3 to get some shade. Again, where else but at Oshkosh do you have this? The show concluded with a salute to the veterans. There were a number of formation flyovers of T-6 Texans, Stearman, and one with a Zero, a Yak, and a Machete flying over. Pretty impressive. But the most spectacular one was the Heritage flight. It consisted of two P-38 Lightnings, an F-4 Phantom, and an F-15 Eagle. Where else in the world could you see a formation of such rare, beautiful airplanes? In fact, there are only 6 P-38s flying in the world today, and we saw 2 of them fly over Oshkosh. We had time to kill before the night air show, so we went back to the tent to relax. Idaho Mike invited a bunch of us to his plane to watch the show and eat some s'mores. This is what I most liked about Oshkosh, the people and the friends that I met. Because of Mike's hospitality, my boys were able to have a unique experience. Hanging out under the wing of a plane and watching a night air show with some truly nice people. Thanks a lot, Mike. The plan was to go to the Air Pigs bacon party before the night air show, but Joey and Robert wandered off, and we never made it. Now they were hungry, so we had to find some place to eat. Everywhere we went, the food stand was closed. We did find that the stand selling Chicago-style hot dogs was still open, so we waited in line. Lines are much more slower in Wisconsin than in New York. When I got to the window to place my order, they said the hot dogs were not ready. So Robert ordered a sausage, and Joey had M&Ms and soda. Thank God his mother wasn't with us. We had waited so long on the line that by the time we finished eating, the air show had already started. We did not get to Mike Hart's plane until after the first act, which was the Aeroshell T-6 Texan team. They all took off together with smoke on. This created a smoky fog bank that drifted over all of us. It was IFR up to about 50 feet. This was the first spectacular act of many spectacular acts that night. The night air show was absolutely incredible. I'm sure you're shouting at your iPod saying, how can you see aircraft at night? Well, you can. In fact, it was some of the most amazing sights I have ever seen. Imagine watching a formation of T-6 Texans lighting up their red tails through the smoke, making it look like flames, or flames trailing out of a steerman's wing, or flames flowing out of a jet-powered glider, who then shot fireworks out. Imagine a beautiful Beach 18 lit up like a Christmas tree, doing graceful aerobatic maneuvers. Then after all that, there was a fireworks show, followed by the Wall of Fire, which was even more spectacular at night. That is what the night air show is. It is definitely worth making plans to stay until Saturday night to watch. Add to this spectacular air show the camaraderie of sitting under the wing of a vintage Cessna with other aviators and enthusiasts. This made a spectacular night more spectacular. Definitely a great way to spend the last night at AirVenture. So after the air show, exhausted, we went back to our tent, knowing that we would be packing up in the morning. Our original plan was to spend the morning at AirVenture and then head to the airport. But when the boys realized we were so close to Green Bay, they really wanted to see Lambeau Field, which, by the way, has a Liney's Lounge. I think it's a good place for our podcasting group to get together and watch a football game. Going to Lambeau Field was the least that I could do. They spent 3 days sharing my passion, and it was only fair that I do something that they liked. What is Oshkosh to me? I definitely agree with Jack, Jeb, and Dave from UCAP, and Steve Tupper from Airspeed. It is all about the people. This was my first trip to Oshkosh, but I felt like I already had lifelong friends. The people that I met there were truly amazing, friendly, caring, and just nice. I only knew them from social networking, through my transponder, through the UCAP forums, and Twitter, but when I met them all for the first time, it was like we knew each other for years. Idaho Mike Hart, said to me that by listening to each other's podcasts, we really got to learn about each other. We knew a lot about their aviation interests and a little about their personal lives. I remarked that it was like online dating. We knew each other before we even met face to face. It was about meeting new friends. So what is Oshkosh to me? It was about spending time with my two sons, Robert, who is 20 and in college, and Joey, 15 and in high school. This was the first time that the three of us actually spent a vacation together without the girls, Mary, my wife, and Colleen, my daughter. And what a fantastic way to spend our first boys' trip together. On the first day, they were already talking about coming back next year. I hope to make this an annual tradition, and hopefully we can do this for many years to come. And let's not forget, it's about the aircraft. And there were a lot of them, from ultralights to C-5 Galaxy to a UAV to a Sopwith Camel and every conceivable type of make and model of aircraft in between. It was at times overwhelming and at times peaceful. It was something different to each person, and it had everything for everyone.
Hi, I'm Will.
And I'm David.
And we're two of the voices in your head.
Come join us in the virtual hangar for a little good old-fashioned hangar flying.
Well, it's not really old-fashioned.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, it's a Skype-based virtual hangar that only exists on the internet.
But we got beer.
That is true.
And we never know who we might run into.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I really did get stick time in that F-16.
Okay, you win. Come join us for some good old-fashioned hangar flying.
Look for the Pilot's Flight Podlog in iTunes.
Or visit us at pilotsflightpodlog.com.
Now for the shout-outs. And be forewarned, there are a lot of them. To Jack, Jeb, and Dave from UCAP, it was a pleasure meeting them all, and a lot of fun hanging out drinking Lineys. To Steve Tupper from Airspeed for showing me the way to the showers and being a genuinely nice person. To Monica Petrillo, who I really enjoyed meeting. She is as nice in person as she was on the interview, and I really enjoyed meeting her in person. And to my Twitter friends, to Julie Will Fly, Adam Can Fly, Pilot Rob 950, Twilight Flyer, Pilot to Be, Pilot Conway, Jeff Ward, Scufferjet, Pilot Tony from the UCAP forums, and of course Rick Felty and John Wellington, and also to all the Potapalooza participants. Pilot's Journey Podcast, Stu Stoll, Stuart Stevenson, Mike Hart, Airplane Geeks with Rob Mark, Pilot Cast with Kent Shook, Tiffany Wolf, Bill Williams, Air Pigs with Mark Klupper, and the Mile High Flyers, Nate, Mike, Elizabeth, and Doug. And also, Steve and Grant from Plane Crazy Down Under. We were all thinking about them. And a special shout-out to Ziola, who was not there and was truly missed. Also, a special shout-out to Rod Rakic and Mike Miley from My Transponder for throwing a great party. And to Jason Miller from the Final Points of Flying podcast, who I did not meet, but put on a great show with Tupper. And to my boys, who made this trip very, very special to me. I could not have asked for a more special and spectacular, warm and enjoyable first trip to Oshkosh. I know I'm forgetting a lot of people from my shout-outs that I had met, but I'm sure they will forgive me, and I hope to see them next year.
Find this and other great shows at the Aviation Podcast Network.
TheVoicesInYourHead.com.
You can get this podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcatcher, or you can go to thenewpilotpodblog.com, or you can get this as well as other aviation podcasts at aviationpodcast.net. You can reach me at thenewpilotpodblog@gmail.com, where you can send me comments and suggestions. You can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/newpilotpodblog. Also on mytransponder.com as LI Pilot. And please join the mytransponder.com group, Friends of the New Pilot Podblog, where you can also leave suggestions and comments. The intro and closing song is John Mellencamp's My Aeroplane. Thanks everyone for listening. Now get out there and exercise your freedom to fly.